I personally feel like it takes some centers a long time, at least 4 years sometimes, depending on who they are. So I honestly think they should be patient with him. And, you know, if they bring him up, that's fine, or give him a two-way. I still want him in the organization.
Sabonis's extension plus the $12 million of Rashawn plus the $17 million of Monk, like that gives them a little bit more room that way. Where I could see that, where that was appealing.
I'm super excited to see what Domas has. But yeah, over under, man, it's a coin flip. I agree with what you guys are saying. Like, just get me in the playoffs. I'll take the seventh seed or the sixth or whatever we got to do to just get another playoff series and keep this thing going.
Welcome to Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings. I'm your co-host, Daly. I'm joined with my other co-host, the OG, Jill. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
And we're also joined by one of the co-hosts of the Beam Unit, Naima. What's going on?
What's up, y'all?
All right, so do I have to start my... sign Mike Dom agenda right now, because I want to push that. People say he's one-dimensional and he can only shoot threes, but my goodness, I mean, he had four blocks today, and every time I watch him, he does good things. I'm not going to lie. I'm always watching Keon or Colby on the defensive end, and it's said that Mike Dom is a turnstile, but he's always blocking shots every time I watch him.
I did not know he had that in him. But I was listening to an interview that he did, I think it was after last game, and he said that that was kind of what they said about him coming out of college and then going pro in Europe. Like, he's lost weight and has had to, you know, he's older and has adjusted his body, and so he thinks that he's more athletic than people give him credit for. And I would say that tonight definitely proved that. So he didn't just speak it, but he was about it.
Well, he's been blocking shots all summer league. So I think he has good timing for real. And because I don't know if it's because of how he looks, but everyone seems to challenge him and then they learn and find out the hard way. So it's really interesting. Naima, any takeaway?
I think Jordy would like his verticality.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. If he comes in and gets some meaningful minutes and has a game like that, he would definitely get the DPOG chain for sure. Naima, any takeaways from this game?
I mean, like I was saying earlier, I'm such a fan of Jordan Ford. It's like he just knows how to run an offense, and like his calm presence on the floor really helped with the Kings. Like, he was getting O'Connell open. He hit some great shots. He was getting himself some great what is it called? Runs to the rim. So, yeah, really big fan of Jordan Ford.
Well, here's my question then. Since Jill's here and everyone's here, and this is for everyone, especially when we open up the mics in about 10 to 15 minutes. With Jordan Ford balling out, and I would say most of the Kings fan base is a fan of him, and then Harry Giles having a workout, Nemias Keita has not been offered a contract yet. I don't know if that's the right wording, Jill. What do we do with our last roster spot?
Well, we have the two-way plus we have two open spots. But I don't know how you don't give Jordan Ford at least something at this point. I'd be perfectly fine giving him the last two-way spot. And, you know, and I think that would be more than fair for, you know, considering he's going to be the third guard, right? Or at least that would kind of be what you're assuming his title will be. But that allows him to spend 50 games with, you know, the big group, but also still do what he did last year in Stockton and kick ass down there, you know, and get the minutes. But I think that would be fair. If you're looking to give Nemi finally that shot, I think that would make sense of giving Jordan that two-way and giving Kata that roster spot if that's something that they were still looking at. I mean, I thought Kata actually, you know, I thought watching him in Sacramento and then in Vegas, I felt like he was one where he looked better every game, and that's what you want to see from guys as well. And so I don't really know what else Kata could do to get a chance at this point. Like, to me, it's either give him the shot or you move on. Like, I know he has one more year left in him, but I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at least when it comes to those two. And then you can also invite some of these guys, right? Like, they're at what, how many roster spots they're at? You can bring 21 now because there's 3 2 ways instead of 20 to camp. You can now have 21. So, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to invite some of these guys to camp and then let them fight it out for those last two spots too. If you do give Jordan that two way, that leaves 2 spots open for guys to fight it out. Even Dom, like, I would look at giving him, if he's interested in not going overseas and staying here, I'd give him an exhibit 10, because then that basically lets him come to camp, but that also then goes towards signing him in Stockton. So they have options, you know.
Well, if Dom's shot blocking is real, if that's a real thing that could translate to the league, he's literally the stretch four that we need. I mean, granted, it's not sexy. It's not, you know, the stretch big that, you know, I envision the Kings having. You know, I wanted Naz Reid, just to be clear. But if it's real, then yeah, I kind of want to see where we could go with him. And then also, I'm such a fan of Keon Ellis. I wouldn't mind seeing him converted to a regular contract. And then I really got hyped when I saw Nikias Duncan's tweet today where he's like, Keon Ellis is an NBA player. I'm like, oh, yeah, I agree. You know, so it's really interesting to see what they're going to do next. So, Jill, you're at the California Classic, and I'm sure you've watched all the Summer League games. First question is, what do you think of the team overall and our youngs? And then also, is Keegan's leap real?
I personally am not putting that pressure on Keegan. Like, it was Summer League. He came out and did everything I'd absolutely want to see of him. I know the one thing nice for Keegan last year was, right, he didn't have that pressure on him. Like, I get it now. There's different expectations. And with the team making the moves they did, like, it's very clear that they're expecting him to do this. If he continues to improve like he's doing, there's no reason why that leap shouldn't be real, right? I mean, I just don't see how it wouldn't be. But I also realize it's his second year, and I'm not gonna, you know, put crazy expectations on the kid either. And I just hope that it, right, that he keeps going in that upward trajectory. Like, as long as he does that, the Kings are going to be, like, the Kings are in good hands when it comes to that stuff. I went with my nephew, and his favorite part was he just got to yell Murray a bunch of times. And so that was the highlight of seeing, honestly, like, how excited he was and just getting to do all those Murray chants. That was kind of what it was about for me there. It was pretty clear that the team kind of struggled a little bit once Keegan was gone, because he was such a focal point, right, those first two games. But I think that even though, right, we saw some losses, I think guys started getting a little bit more comfortable. And you saw Jordan Ford absolutely, like, pick it up and kind of take that leadership role to me, like, no problem, which I think was nice to see. I thought Colby Jones looked like what you thought he would look like. And so that was exciting for me. Slauson, at times, I wish he would shoot the ball a little bit more. Like, I get he's very much like, I was a fan of him, right, coming out. He's very much a connector piece. And also to that extent, like, I think he buys that role. It'll be interesting to see how that works with the rest of the with the Stockton guys. But I thought there were times where he kind of forced it a little bit too much in the passing, instead of just putting up the shot. But I mean, and he also spoke to how he, right, like, he was nervous and he had the nerves. And so I can understand that as well. But I think overall, like, from what I wanted to see from the players, like, individually, I saw it. It was nice that Kessler had a good game today. His defense has always been good, right? And he'd been rebounding. But we saw a bit more on offense this game. And I felt like his aggression was kind of there more at the beginning. And he kind of got in a decent rhythm. And so that might have helped a little bit. But, yeah, like, I mean, it's summer league. And they kind of look like what I expected them to look like. So, and I think Jamal Crawford tonight said it best, was that the Kings, like, were getting guys based on how they could see them fitting into their system. It wasn't guys going out there trying to making a name for themselves. It was, we could use this kind of guy, we could use this kind of guy, we could use this role kind of guy. And they're trying to build players in that. And like they mentioned, that's what a lot of these good teams do. And so I think if they keep doing that and keep using Stockton in that sense of trying to build their connector pieces that way, then that's only going to lead to really good things for this group as well.
Well, overall, I love how we kind of have a summer league death lineup of Keon, Jordan Ford, Colby Jones, and then Kessler. Whenever they're on the floor together, good things happen. Granted, Colby Jones was out, and we were still able to get a 19-0 run or something like that. And then back to Keegan, though. When you see articles or even video pieces about him where they're saying, oh, is Keegan the third star? I mean, do you kind of say, like, hold up? Can we hold off on that?
I mean, that's only me just trying to protect the kid, but I know very much, like, that's what the team thinks. I mean, that's what they're expecting, and that's what they genuinely view for him. So, to me, just loving the kid, like, I hope that he can live up to those expectations. But I also understand that it's year two, right? Like, I'm going to give the kid time, and if it doesn't totally, right, that stardom doesn't happen this year, I just don't want to see people, you know, going negative with it if it's, you know, if it's still a trajectory up, but it's not, like, as fast as people are expecting, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm glad you're neutral about it, because if you heard us,
like, I mean, and I, like I said, I hope for, you know, I hope that he does. I just, with how crazy everyone's going on it, like, I just hope that, you know, people don't go crazy if it, you know, it takes slower than 2 years, right, for it to happen.
Right. Well, I was saying, I'm glad you're neutral about it, because if you heard us talking Tuesday night, you could have sworn we were like, yeah, Keegan's going to be Kawhi in 2 years. And yeah, we got out of hand, and which is fun. We had a good time talking about it.
I mean, who knows? But yeah, it's just, I'm just trying to... I'm just thinking ahead about him and used to, you know, things not totally going how everyone thinks they're going to go. So just trying to pump the brakes a little bit.
Right. You got to stay neutral. That's how I feel. And then with Kata, I personally feel like it takes some centers a long time, at least 4 years sometimes, depending on who they are. So I honestly think they should be patient with him. And, you know, if they bring him up, that's fine, or give him a two-way. I still want him in the organization. I would hate for him to leave us and then suddenly ball out in 2 years. I hate it when that happens.
They always say bigs take longer. And honestly, promotion would be going to that third backup role, right? Like, that's, to me, that's a normal trajectory of building a guy through a two-way spot, of the next spot being, you know, you're that third guy. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, 100%. So,
and then, right, and then he's able to learn from Sabonis and Len. Even if he's not getting the minutes at that point, he's there and he's with as much as the Kings are practicing. I think he'd be learning a lot at this point. Last year, I thought they did exactly what they needed to do. Like, he needed those minutes. Like, he needed to still be down there. They still had him working on his body and different things. That it just seems like the next trajectory, if you're going to go there, then he goes to that third spot and he's, you know, now spending as much time as he can, you know, absorbing things from Sabonis and Len and the rest of the coaching staff. And then you can still send him down to play games down there too. Like that's, you know, even if you're on the big squad, they can still send you down there for minutes and things like that if needed.
Well, if he's not a foul machine, he's exactly what we need. He has the size and athleticism. Yeah, as long as he keeps his fouls down, I don't see the problem. And then, like you were saying, when they're practicing or in training camp, that's iron sharpens iron. I think there's no way he can't get better.
Yeah, and at some point you're going to have to throw him in there and see, like, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? Do you know what I mean? Like, at some point they're going to have to give him the shot and make the decision how they want to keep going with it.
Right on. And I want to shout out everyone who's here. And I do see some requests. We're going to open the mics up in about 5 to 10 minutes. We're going to talk about a few things, you know, I'm sorry, Deuce and Mo / podcast style. And then Jill, I wanted to ask you about just free agency and period league wide and the extensions that people got. Any notable things to you that stood out?
Well, I will say that on, the website today, I know the Kings didn't announce anything, but they, according to, it says that Sasha like officially signed his 3-year deal. I know that he was back in Europe and that he was having to deal with, you know, like they had the payouts and stuff like that with his other team and things like that. But, at least according to Spotrac or Spowrac or however they pronounce it, that it says the official transaction happened. So I guess we'll find out. But just if something notable that popped up today, that happened. So I know that was kind of one of the things we were waiting on. I don't know. I don't think that there was anything that really surprised me. I know, like, as soon as the trade happened, a lot of people were expecting, you know, a big splash. But local media kind of was consistently the whole time saying they were looking at, you know, an OG trade, or it was a Sabonis and Barnes type move. So I was totally surprised there. I'm more so surprised, I guess, that of like how they signed everybody to where it kind of took some of the caps like space away, I would say. But that's also depending on how they want to handle these last two roster spots, where if they don't feel like that there was a guy out there worth giving $5 million in one of those last two spots, because they don't see that person being a rotation piece or something like that. Like, I guess I can understand that. But Monty's also been very vocal about being the, you know, maintain and improve. And so, you know, signing Sabonis wasn't a surprise to me. Barnes, I think they got him in the range that they were looking at getting him. And, you know, if they're looking at paying Monk next year, right, where they can offer him that $17 million plus, not having Holmes, you know, Rashawn's $12 million on the books next year, you know, can help going towards that of, you know, where their starting salary is, and then going out and paying $17 million without having Sabonis's extension plus the $12 million of Rashawn plus the $17 million of Monk. Like, that gives them a little bit more room that way, where I could see that, where that was appealing. I'm not totally sold that, like, that was the move the whole time. I think if Murray was there, they probably would have taken Murray and gone a different route. So, you know, I think that maybe that was plan B and just how it played out. But,
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised maybe, I guess, at some of the other teams, like some of the big numbers that were coming out, where I was like, yeah, I'm happy we didn't give that away. So there was that. And so, yeah, I mean, so I would say when it comes to the Kings, I don't think nothing really surprised me. But when it went to some of the other salaries that were going out, I thought the Kings kind of dodged some bullets there.
Yeah, so Keith Smith put out that tweet where he was listing all the teams and how much money they had left, and then he put us at 7.7. There were like three or four teams that had 7.7 million.
Which was Sasha's.
Yeah. One. And so, yeah. So yeah. That's going to go to Sasha, and so now we just have like vet minimums?
Two minimums, yep.
Okay, which is fine. So what that means, we're probably just going to end up getting, you know,
PJ Dozier's of the world, right? Unless somehow they sign like TD back, I mean, because you could then, you know, give him more. Other than that, it's, yeah, that's really what they have is the minimum. And it's important to remember where the vet minimum, it's on how many years those guys have in the league, right? Like Alex Len, his vet minimum was like 3 point something because he's a 10-year vet. So the vet minimum is different kind of for each player depending on their circumstance, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
So. Just to make that clear, where it's like, oh, you know, I could see people being like, oh, Alex Len got that much, but it was like, well, he got that much at a minimum deal.
So just for vibes alone, you would want Harry Giles back, right?
Oh, I mean, I wish nothing best for that kid. Like, I mean, and when he's healthy, like he does fit what this group does. I know Sean mentioned in the interview, like the Kings didn't have anybody there. But that also could just be because, I mean, he's been around the group as well. Like, we know, you know, he came to the playoffs and things like that, that they might just feel like they know him. Or they're really just not that interested. I don't know. But I really hope his body, to me, his legs look bigger. Like, they look like they have more muscle. And I know he even mentioned in that interview that he's older and he's kind of learned how to, you know, take better care of his body and things like that. And right. And you now are in a 25-year-old body. And so I just hate injuries taking guys out of. It's not right. It's not like because the talent's not there. Like it's
right.
I hate it when injuries take guys out. And so the talent has never been a question for him. It's just, can he stay on the floor? And I really, whether it's the Kings or somebody else, like, I really just hope someone gives that guy a shot, because if he can stay on the court, like, he'll be in the league, right? Like, he should be there. So I would love to see him get a last opportunity.
Yeah, whether here or anywhere else
yep.
in the league, for sure.
I mean, it would be awesome if it was here. I just don't, yeah. I'm just not sure about what this group ever feels, you know, with them, so.
About a month ago, Vegas posted the Kings win total at 45, and then DraftKings just a few days ago has them at 43.5. What do you guys think about that? And then I'm going to let people in. If you guys want to talk, feel free to request.
That, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. It's better than the low 30s they had been giving them, but I also think that because they didn't really make any splashy moves, that they also don't really know if this team's gonna, you know, regress or be the same, or, you know what I mean? Like, I can just see them not believing it until they continue to do it for, you know, multiple years in a row, which I understand. But I always love betting on them because, you know, I always expect them to go over, you know, whatever the total that they end up giving them, you know, is.
Yeah, same here. I don't really pay attention to those numbers at all because I'd rather just watch the season first. But it honestly doesn't really mean nothing to me.
Yeah, if anything, I thought it was generous considering our reputation. So in a way, we actually gained respect with our performance in the playoffs and just getting there and how we did during the regular season. So yeah, I'm fine with it, and I know
they
some
gave
people
us.
Like,
I think what was it like a 10-game bump compared to last year? So
oh yeah,
I mean it's something.
And I know there's some people out there that are like, no, it should have been 50 and all that. And it's like, that's fine, but the West is a freaking shark tank. That's all I have to say. Everybody improved, and then all those lottery teams are going to be pretenders. I think OKC looks scary. I think the Rockets with an organizer in Fred VanVleet and a real coach. I think, you know, there's no nights off, I don't think.
Yeah, and to me, next year, like, I know everyone's expecting, like, up to me, it's just, whatever you have to do, make the playoffs. I don't care where you fall, just get in the playoffs. Like, it's, like you mentioned, there's no easy. Like, there's no easy in the West. There never is. Just get in the playoffs and then let the chips fall where they may from there.
Yeah, and I love how we're the type of team to not take a night off. We're always, especially, like, you know, Domas being one of our leaders, he gives like 150% every game, which you can't say that about some stars out there. Ross, it's been a minute, man. How are you?
Yo, what's up, everybody? How you guys doing, man?
We're good.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to on the over-under thing, because I look at like last season was like almost like two different seasons. It was the first half where we were just trying to struggle to find chemistry and figure out what works, and like the West seemed so daunting and all these teams were like so much better than us and scary. And then we like flipped this switch and it was like really felt like we were one of the two or three best teams in the West. And I know it was like some injury stuff, but it was also just because the way we were playing, like the team, you know, Sabonis was so solid. You could just count on him every single night. I know a lot of people are like kind of upset with how he performed in the playoffs, but the reason I, you know, think he struggles, you're going against Draymond and Looney, who have been in the playoffs and probably either in the finals or the Western Conference finals for basically a decade straight. So when they show up to the playoffs, they're not double thinking anything. They're not second guessing. They're just like, this is just another day at the office. If anything, they're like ramped up and like, this is the real season. Let's go. So I'm super excited to see what Domas has. But yeah, over under, man, it's a coin flip. I agree with what you guys are saying. Like, just give me in the playoffs. I'll take the seventh seed or the sixth or whatever we got to do to just get another playoff series and keep this thing going. I wanted to say one thing about the Keegan being the third star is, I mean, we have Domas and Fox, and they're like really solid. And when you look at third stars on most teams, they're not these like guys that we're thinking about, oh my God, he's the third star. It's like, it's a Chris Bosh or it's a Drew Holiday, who are really, really good players, but you're not asking them to do like three or four things. You're asking a guy like Bosh to rebound and, you know, do the dirty work. You're asking Holiday to just guard the defender and, you know, hit a three every now and then. But
I feel like our main consistent third guy every night.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need anybody to be like, we don't even need him to score. I mean, 20 points a game would be nice, but we don't need him to score 25. That's probably like, if he's scoring 25, you're talking about like, is he as good as Fox and Domas? And then that's just a good problem to have. But well, I think he'll come along fine. Yeah, I'm super excited to see his progress. And I think he kind of knows he doesn't need to be better than Fox and Domas. Just go out there and be the third or fourth guy. He doesn't seem like he wants that anyways.
And I think Luke Locke said it perfectly in one of the earlier interviews where he's like, yeah, Keegan doesn't have to do that much considering our talent on the team. He's like, yeah, just a step back every now and then, put the ball on the floor every now and then, you know, give us a midi, score at all three levels, but it's not like he doesn't have to do all that every time. So yeah, perfect.
He seems like a playoff guy too. Like those last three or four games in the playoffs, he took him a second, but after that you could see that he's like, okay, I'm for the big moment, man. Like, so it's good to know that you have another guy that's like, you know, not really afraid of those lights and gonna let it fly. But appreciate y'all, man. Sounding great. Love the show, y'all.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it. Yeah, and I just love that Keegan's – we can say that Keegan's a playoff performer. The first two or three games were rough, but then he totally came through. And it's like now it's like I'm waiting for Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes. I need them to step up during the playoffs, and we're going to have to see.
Yeah, and I mean, and right, he continues to show like he doesn't run from the work, right? Like he
understands what the organization wants from him, like, and he wants it just as much. But I mean, how often do you hear about, right, second year players staying in, right, their team city and not, you know, going back home and enjoying things? Like, I think he said he went back for maybe a week, and then it was like he was back in Sacramento and has spent, you know, every day with Fox and the Fox family. Like, it's, he genuinely is buying in and trying to build something, and to even, like they've said, right, get his body, like, you know, more ready now that you have a year under you. Because, you know, you hear about guys and, you know, their first year and trying to keep their legs under them, right, going from college to that. And I thought even his rookie year, he did such a great job of that. And so it's just even more so, you know, and we finally have rookies, right, who can, like, lean on actual leaders, right, of what they need to do to take these next steps and how to build themselves. Where I think it was on the Kings Beat podcast yesterday, they were talking about Harry Giles and when he came in, right, and how he really didn't have that vet to lean on. There were 9 first and second year players on that team, and you don't have, right, those vets who are telling you, like, this is what you should be doing, and this is how you should take care of yourself, and, you know, this is how you're going to prolong yourself in this league. And, you know, even, you know, Harry in his interviews have since said that, like, he's had to, you know, learn the hard way, right, with mistakes and what he should have done. And so to me, it's just, it's nice that Keegan and any young player coming in here, like, they have guys, and even Barnes being here, right, like, they have those guys that are looking out for him and are, you know, grooming them of how to be a vet in this league and how to last, not just on the court, but, like, off the court, and what you can do, you know, for yourself to keep it going.
And not to mention just having a coach like Mike Brown. I always say, imagine what Fox would be right now if he had Mike Brown in his rookie year. So I think that's phenomenal. And then, you know, I know some people say that Harrison Barnes wasn't the sexy signing that they wanted, but his experience and what he does for the locker room and bench for our youngs is invaluable, I think. So,
yeah, I think this is a great place to be. When you hear fans talk about it, and then when you actually listen to all the ex-players, right, who are, you know, give their opinions, whether in summer league or you know, on TV, podcasts, all that, like, they've all been nothing but, you know, the Kings continue to do the right thing with Harrison Barnes and keeping him around. And so I always feel like that's interesting when you hear it from, you know, a player perspective and their view on it, and then you hear, you know, fans more of, like, the emotional side of it, if that makes sense. Oh, there you go. There you got the per transaction list. The Kings signed Sasha, like we said.
Bung, what's going on? Sorry about that.
No, I just wanted to join to share that because I saw James put that up 10 minutes ago. Yeah, Sasha, if it's to what we'd heard before, it's like $7.5 million, right? 21 over 3 years. And I think he's going to give his starting lineup a run for their money and is going to not be on this bench very long. And I mean, just looking at the caliber of scorer he is over in the EuroLeague, I think there's no way he doesn't, at least, you know, he's going to be at least a starter in this league, if not a future star. And having him on this level of bargain, I think, is something we're going to look back on, you know, in a couple years going, we're only paying that guy how much? And, like, this is a window that I think needs to be capitalized on. Like, we don't need to rush into anything. We got to see how this season goes and how he fits and all that. But these next couple playoff runs, I think we're going to be, vicious.
And Bung, I know you've watched a few games of Sasha, right?
I won't say I've watched, like, full games, but, like, yeah, I've been looking at clips of his back when we made that trade last. You guys remember what this was all over? People were screaming, oh, we drafted Hardy, the guy that went to Dallas. Remember his first name? Jalen, right. Hardy, right? and we're freaking out. Oh, we traded away our picks again. Oh, it's cash considerations, or, you know, this all bullshit again. Like, they, you know, they're just trading away shit because they don't want to deal with, like, and that's not true. Like, this was a smart move by Monty to cash in on 2 seconds in a draft that I don't know if it was that deep. And, like, it's not like this last year. Like, this draft, there were a lot of good second round picks. Last year was, like, you know, some. So you move those for the rights to, you know, you probably weren't going to have room for those second round picks anyways, like in the squad that you had. So hold on to an asset for a year and bring him in later, and you've got him on this great deal contract and no one's looking at it. And look at the like 2 years in, he was top five in MVP when we got him, right? And then he wins the MVP the next year. And like this number, like I've been saying it to people I work with who like don't, maybe aren't Kings fans or like don't follow or whatever. I'm like, dude, 275 points, 26 dribbles. And people like, what? Like, they don't even understand what I'm saying. Because that number, that's crazy. That's insane. And it's because he's got a very unique play style, and he fits in with two ball handlers at both ends of the floor. He's gonna be perfect.
And then defensively, when I see him, I don't see like a below average athlete. I think he has average or a little bit above average athleticism. And I feel like there's this weird rumor that he's going to be this traffic cone on defense. And you're not everyone's Paul George on every team. You know what I mean? And we're not going to have him on that type of player anyway.
If he can play team defense, he'll be fine.
Yeah. That's what I think.
He's so smart too. His movement off the ball and like where he'll come in and get rebounds or little touches here and there. I don't think he's going to be a lockdown dude on the perimeter. Like, I don't think he's going to be a slouch either, but he has a level of like smart and motion to him that reminds me of the way Jokic does stuff, where like, you know, Jokic, you're like, is he shooting or is he just throwing the ball? And I showed some clips of Vezenkov to my roommate who doesn't watch basketball at all. And he immediately was like, this dude's different. Like, he throws the ball like that. And he said that, and I thought of Jokic. I was like, he's not Jokic, of course. He's not that passer. But there's a way, this instinct that he has and this natural motion he uses with the ball that is very unique.
Well, considering Kings fans were in love with Rashawn's push shot at his peak, Sasha has the quickest little mid-range release thing that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's so quick. So yeah. All you have to do is just get a rebound, throw it to him. If he has any space, it's a done deal.
Yeah, and I'll say, I think with Duarte, because we haven't talked about him yet, like I loved that like low-risk signing, because I think that could end up paying off. If he stays healthy and he does what he did in year one, you got an absolute steal for 2 second-round picks. And I think he fits what this group is going for. When you look at Duarte and you look at Sasha, just basketball IQ-wise, I mean, with how these guys are on the court, I think you got better over IT and Metu. Like, and that's right. Like, if those are who you're replacing, I do think that, like, you can say that they're more two-way, right? Like, two-way players of the game than the other two. And so, if you hit on those two guys, then you've improved, right? Like, then they might be small in the transaction world when it comes to free agency, but the impact they can have on the floor can be much more than what people are expecting.
Well, I said like a year ago on your podcast, Jill, where it's like, you know, I love seeing teams with experience play like they have some telepathic bond, right? And so we know that Duarte and Sabonis have that. I cannot wait to hear the microphones pick up a little bit of Spanish when they're talking to each other on the floor. And they're going to have that. The way that Herter and Domas play off each other, it's going to be the same thing with he and
I was going to say, Duarte. His numbers, his freshman year, I mean, his rookie year, were almost spot on to what Kevin Herter did with Sabonis last year. Like, yeah, they very much had that. And Duarte, like, even had some really good passing to his game there, too, and rebounding. So I do think that he does have more overall game, I would say, you know, to himself as well.
Yeah, I think if he just stays healthy and plays at that level in his rookie year, bargain, right? Total bargain. He's on his rookie contract, so it's going to be all good to go. And I'm sorry, guys. As an old Francisco Garcia fan, I just love the fact that we have another player with a Dominican accent now. So for those post-game pressers, they're going to be so beautiful. I cannot wait. It's a beautiful thing. If you guys have any more pressing comments or questions or topics, feel free to request and talk. I'm going to close up shop in probably 5 to 10 minutes, so feel free to request. Thanks, everyone, for coming through. We appreciate you. Feel free to request, y'all. And then, Sonia, thank you always for supporting. Torino, what's happening? Al and Cal, I'm surprised you're on here. I thought you'd be recovering from your summer league journey. Joseph, what's up? Jum, Brian, Tyler, Justin, Ray, Shiva, Brad, thanks for coming through. We appreciate you. Bung, go for it.
I just want to ask Jill, is there any truth now, both Kyle Draper and there was whoever, I don't remember who it was, there was a female play-by-play who both said that Nemias has signed two ways. We've had this rumor come out a couple times. Is there any truth to what has he signed anything? Is there any indication?
I haven't officially heard that from anybody. No. To me, it seemed like a slip up on air just because it hasn't been anywhere else. And I know that even people that reached out to the Kings, like, they didn't even get answers back to it. So, to me, it seems like it's just that weird limbo. Like, they're trying to figure out, do they want to give them the two-way? Do they want to give them the roster spot? And I also don't know, like, what kind of conversations they had in, like, did he have to show something, you know, during this summer league to get one, you know, to one or the other? But I didn't see what Draper said, so I'm not sure about that one. But at least to me, a couple days ago, it seemed like she might have misspoke there. But again, like, I don't know. But I will say, like, it's not on any kind of transaction wire where, like, the NBA has, like, a list of transactions. Like, it's not on there. So unless it's like a verbal of something, I haven't heard about it.
Do you think it's more about the Kings deciding how they're going to do it, or more about, like, is Nene saying, like, I want a roster spot? Like,
you know, they could have offered the two, and he could be saying, like, he could have said, I want to work for that roster spot. It was hard to tell in the interviews when they were talking to him of which one it actually was, because he talked about being in limbo. So yeah, I mean, it's a hard one because we can't really kind of get any clarity from anybody, outside that one comment, but he does have one additional year. If it ends up happening, like, he does have one more year that they can put him on it. So, yeah, sorry. It hasn't been listed on any of the official stuff. And in the back channels, I haven't had anybody be able to confirm anything. So,
so when you're saying one more year, though, is that just like a team option, or can he be like,
no. Like, it's he has one more year to, guys can play 3 years on a two way. And so he has one more year of eligibility to be able to get a two way spot if they went that route. If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So he could okay. If he gets a two-way, he could be like, he could leave, right? That's a possibility.
I mean, he'd have to sign it. Like, if they give him for a two-way, like, it's you're on a two-way unless that team promotes you. As far as I know, I don't think a team can poach you, like, from another team's two-way unless they ask to be released and then go sign an actual spot somewhere else. But, I know the qualifying offer that he got was, like, right based on that two-way spot last year. But yeah, everyone I've talked to, like, nobody has any idea of which way it's going. Just that it's, he could sign the two-way because he has one more year of eligibility left. or is he going to be that third string, you know, center finally this year? But yeah, I only say in terms of like on the NBA transaction list that they have to report. There's nothing on there about him actually signing anything.
So Bung, if you're Monty, what are you doing? Are you signing Kata? Are you signing Harry Giles? What's your take?
If I would imagine what's happening right now is if they went, yo, we like you. We want you here. We're definitely going to put you on another two-way at least. But we could give you a roster spot if other things don't work out. So we're going to leave you in limbo because that might be better for you. That's what I'm imagining is happening right now.
So yeah, ahead, and that very well could be it. Yep, I mean, that very well could be it that they have that understanding.
So, yeah, I mean, if I can get Harry Giles, I'm putting Harry in a roster spot, and I'm putting Nimi back in the two-way for one more year. If he's cool, you know, and I'm assuming he's cool with that and gets it. And we still technically have two roster spots, right? I don't know if we want two more bigs in the roster, but they could both go in there and you put Jordan Ford on the third two-way, right?
In my dom? I'm kidding.
Yeah, they have one roster – or they have two roster spots open and one – one two-way left, and then they also you can have up to 21 so that they can sign guys to exhibit 10s to bring them into camp, which means that that contract can be converted into a two-way, or you have essentially first rights to sign them to Stockton if they choose to take it.
Yeah, I would.
Which is what they did with Jake Stevens. So like they signed him to an exhibit 10 deal.
So do you guys think Keon should stay put, or do you think he should get bumped up a little bit?
I will say they kind of made it known to him that he signed the two-way, but as long as there's still roster spots open, he has the ability to fight for it, if that makes sense. Fight in camp and prove, like, continue to prove that you deserve one of those spots. They can convert them, and then you sign somebody else to a two-way.
I really
do know
mind.
That those conversations were open.
Yeah, I would not mind Keon Ellis on the main roster,
and he's sure. Open either way. Like he's happy to be back, and he's all in on that.
Nice. Joseph, it's been a minute, and guys, I think after Joseph, we're gonna close up shop. So Joseph, what's up?
Yo, what's up, man? Yeah, good game. I didn't watch all of it. I was working, but I caught some of it. It looked like Kessler Edwards had a great game. 18-8, almost a double-double. I really like what I've seen from him. And as far as roster spots go, I really hope Jordan Ford is at least on a two-way. I fell in love with that guy like 20 minutes into the first like California Classic game. I love how he plays, how he's a bucket, you know, good, like, floor general kind of guy. He could do worse for a third option, you know, point guard. And, yeah, if I had the choice between, like, Giles or Kata, that's a real – that's like choosing between your children, man. I think I'd go with Giles. I don't have kids, so I actually don't know how that would go. But I'd imagine it'd be a difficult choice, but I'd choose Giles. And yeah, I just like, I'm like you, man. I just want everybody, like just put everybody on a 10 day or whatever, or exhibit 10 or whatever.
Yeah. And for anyone that did watch the game, Jordan Ford confirmed that Jamal Crawford did end up following him on social media.
Oh, that's hilarious. And by the way, that was a pleasure to listen to them with,
it was, I want to see so Jamal good. Crawford on a bench. I mean, that. To have that, if you could have him as a player development coach, he would be so good for so many young players.
Was Colby Jones injured or just took a hard fall? Or
yeah, he took a hard fall and he had stiffness, so they're probably checking.
Yeah, I don't
out.
Think they were gonna risk anything.
Okay. Yeah, I hope everything's good with him because he's been really impressive too.
Oh yeah, and hopefully he gets minutes this year. He does all the right things. And I said on the last show, if he's like 75% of a Bruce Brown, we won. You know what I mean? We that he's a steal.
And the fact that you were able to get him on that new second round pick exception is amazing, where you were able to sign him to that 4-year deal, right? That's new for a second round pick. And it doesn't count against your cap until, as long as you sign it before, I think it was before July, it was July something. Like, it doesn't hit your cap until July 30th. So it allows you to still do all your other moves, and it doesn't hit you until then, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think they said that there were like 12 players out of 13 second round picks that were signed, 12 of them were signed to that new exception.
So we were the first one to use that.
Yep. Yeah. So it's a cool new little option for teams.
Thank you so much, everyone, for stopping by.